I've been really surprised at how many people who listen to this podcast have reached out to me about having me speak at their events. I love that. And here's why. Over the last 13 years, I've had the honor to help hundreds of companies like Nissan, Walmart, Microsoft, and Comedy Central at events around the world. And during that time, I've developed three big goals for your event. Number one, I want to slingshot your audience into the best year they've ever had. Whether I'm opening, closing, or somewhere in the middle of the event, I want to launch everyone out of that room with actionable, memorable things that they can apply to their work and lives immediately. Number two, my second goal, I want the sound team engaged and laughing. The sound team has heard it all. They have. And if I can make them laugh and learn along the way, the audience is going to absolutely love the keynote. And number three, my third goal, I want you to get text messages during the keynote. My favorite sentence to hear from you after I speak is, "John, my phone was blowing up during your keynote." I'm there to make you look like a rock star, not me. If your boss texts you during my speech and compliments you on how well the event is going, then I know I've done my job. Whether it's virtual or live, 10,000 people in an arena, or 15 sales team members on WebEx or Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I'd love to help you with your next event. Fill out the quick form at acuff.me/speaking to check my availability. That's acuff, acuff.me/speaking. Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes is Goal podcast. If you're new around here, I'm a late bloomer who discovered the power of goals in his mid-30s. Now I'm on a furious mission to create the accelerators I wish I had in my 20s. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about something I have been obsessed about for the last year, just obsessed about in the best possible way. What are we talking about? Wisdom. We're going to be talking about wisdom, specifically wise people win. Here's how to become one. Last July, I read something that changed my entire life. Ugh. Don't people say that kind of thing all the time on Instagram? People say, one hack that changed everything. One travel tip that will make you never look at tugboats the same way. One business secret that will make you $10 million in 10 seconds. Those kind of statements are annoying to me. So let's back up a second. Let's back up. Last July, I read two sentences. They hit me so hard that I launched a 670-hour experiment that is still going. I'll spend another 900 hours working on it this year. If I only had an hour invested, like if I'd only tried it for an hour or even 100 hours, I might not mention these two sentences at all. I might not even say anything. But now that I'm 670 hours deep, it felt like it was time to share a bit. Like once I've done a sample size of 670 hours, I feel like I can go, huh, this thing feels like it's working. Maybe I should share that. The older I get, the longer I try things before I talk about them. I used to be very quick to have a single idea, try it for 10 minutes, and then tell people, yeah, this is the way. This is how my new life is going to be this way. I've done it twice, so this is my new life. And then I'd quit by day four, day five. So I'm learning to kind of hold off a bit. Hold up. Wait. Like to wait on an idea until I feel like I've tried it enough. I have enough information. I have enough experience. So 670 hours. Let's talk. What were the sentences? Stop delaying, John. Give us the sentences. All right. Here they are. Here you go. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Let me say those again. Wisdom is supreme, comma, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, another comma, get understanding. Maybe those sentences hit me so hard because I'm close to my 50th birthday. But I've had a recent fascination with that word, with wisdom. The people I admire, the people I look up to, the people who in their 50s and 60s and 70s have the kind of life I want all have wisdom. They're all wise. It's one of the few things they all have in common. But if wisdom costs me all I have, what does that mean? Well, I was curious about that. So I made a list of what it costs to acquire wisdom. So sitting there with my notebook, I just took out a piece of paper and a pen and I started to write down, what would wisdom cost? It says, though it costs you all you have. What does that mean? So here's what I wrote down. Number one, wisdom costs humility. I have to admit that I don't know something in order to learn something. That's the first step. I have to admit I don't know it in order to learn it. I have to sacrifice my ego to admit I'm confused or new to a topic. Has someone ever said something to you about money, politics, or art, and you completely didn't understand it, but you didn't say anything because you didn't want to be embarrassed? You're like, oh yeah, Basquiat. Oh, I love his early work. The colors. It was the colors, the color schemes and just the messiness, the way he captured like life and ducks. He didn't paint ducks. No, I didn't mean ducks. I meant street scene. What? Oh, he was pop art. Anyway, fantastic. Like, it's easy to kind of fake it. And wisdom goes the opposite direction. Wisdom costs you humility. You have to admit you don't know. Number two thing wisdom costs you is relationships. Wisdom costs relationships. In order to acquire wisdom, there are some relationships I need to end and some I need to start. My favorite current study about the impact of relationships was done by Dylan Miner, an assistant professor of managerial economics and decision sciences at the Kellogg School. They studied 58,000 hourly service workers at 11 well-known technology firms. And they were looking at what impact you gain when you sit within 25 feet, a 25-foot radius of a high performer versus a toxic coworker. So they are testing what happens when you sit near somebody who's a high performer versus someone who's a toxic coworker. And what they found was that if you sit within 25 feet of a high performer, your own performance is boosted by 15%. They call it positive spillover. On the other hand, if you sit close to a toxic coworker, it has a negative financial impact on you, estimated at $12,800. So if you sit near a high performer, performance goes up 15%. You sit near somebody who's toxic, your performance goes down $12,800. Isn't that wild? I mean, those stats. But it's really not that surprising though, right? I mean, think about the times in your own life when you were really in the zone. Like you had flow, you were dialed in, you were locked in. I bet that you were in community with other high performers. So in order to increase my wisdom, I needed to get around wise people and stop spending time with people who are not wise. The third thing that wisdom costs money. There will be times when I need to invest in a course or a book, a coach or an event in order to acquire wisdom. I've spent thousands of dollars over the last 3 years in coaching, and it was worth every penny. Some of you listening right now invested into the Guaranteed Goals community at the beginning of the year. And right now I'm working with my team to make sure at the end of the year, you go, ooh, it was worth every penny. Wisdom sometimes costs money. Number four, wisdom costs opportunity. There will be opportunities that look great on the outside, but if I actually look at them carefully, if I take the time, I will realize they're not right for me. I will have to say no to some short-term wins in order to say yes to the long-term wins. One clue that I should say no is often that the person pitches it to me and says, it'll take minimal time. You'll barely have to do anything. And that's never true. I never have to barely do anything. Anything excellent takes time is what I've learned. And number five, wisdom costs time. There's that word. Wisdom requires my most valuable, most limited resource, time. Coffees with wise people cost time. Reading books cost time. Taking courses cost time. Reviewing my goals daily, weekly, or monthly cost time. Sitting with a notebook and a problem cost time. I made that list of what wisdom costs, and then a question hit me. Does my calendar reflect that I am pursuing wisdom? Ooh, ouch. It's fun to say we want a certain goal. We're serious this time. I'm really doing it. I mean it. I'm going to run that marathon. I'm going to write that book. I'm going to invest in my marriage. Those are all fun things to say, but the calendar tells the truth. And the truth is, last July, I couldn't find a lot of hours where I was pursuing wisdom in my life. My calendar didn't show it. I decided that for the rest of the year, I was going to track my wisdom hours. New goal unlocked. I'm excited. I'm doing it. But what the heck is a wisdom hour? So the next step was to create a list of actions I felt qualified as wisdom hours. I came up with 25 different actions. Now, I won't give you the whole list. That'd be a long episode. But here are a few examples of the kind of things I put on my wisdom hours list. Number one, reading nonfiction books. Number two, planning my week. Number three, talking to mentors. Number four, sitting quietly with my notebook. Number five, writing down ideas. All of those things counted toward making me a wiser person. And it took me about a week to come up with that list. So then I just used the timer on my phone and I started tracking the hours. So anytime I would do one of the 25 activities I came up with, one of the 25 actions, I would just start the timer on my phone. And I didn't have a specific number of hours I wanted to hit in July. The first month I tried it, I was just trying it. It was just an experiment. And each time I'd finish an hour, I'd draw a little line in my notebook. Like somebody, you know, like an old timey movie of somebody who's in jail and they're just drawing like a little hash mark, like on the wall. I just did that. I'd go 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the fifth one would cross it out. So I know that was a unit of 5. It was very, very primitive. That's all I did. And at the end of the first month, I counted them up and I'd spent 60 hours on wisdom. So then I tried it again in August. And that month I spent 127 hours. In September, I spent 113 hours. In October, I spent 124. I've done it every month since. And now my goal is a minimum of 100 hours of wisdom per month. And I was immediately blown away by how much better my life got when I started to pursue wisdom. For example, I made better decisions. When you spend time deliberately thinking through the best move, you make the best move. Prior to investing in wisdom, I made a lot of fast decisions, often because I was afraid to sit in the uncertainty. So I'd just rush and make a decision. And I'd end up in places that weren't wise doing projects I didn't need to do. But when I focused on wisdom, I made better decisions. I also physically felt better. Going to bed on time is wise. Going for walks is wise. Eating a little bit better is wise. Getting your face in the sunshine is wise. Wisdom is a full body experience. And when I started to make wise decisions, I started to physically feel better. I was more patient. You can't be hurried and wise. Those two things are in contrast. I was more curious. The more I read, the more I wanted to read. When I sought wisdom, I started to notice it was everywhere. There were so many different sources that I had been missing when I wasn't actively looking for it. It made me more curious. Now, this is probably the most, well, podcast episode you'll listen to all year. I agree. Of course, pursuing wisdom makes you smarter, happier, and healthier. We all know that. But here's the question. Are you pursuing it? Like right now, that is, can you open your calendar and see examples of ways you are actively working to get wiser? Does your time reflect a pursuit of wisdom? Does your money, do your relationships? Right now, do they? And you don't have to do 100 hours a month. You don't. But try this week. Make a commitment to seek wisdom for 1 hour, just 1 hour, and see what happens. Go on a walk with a wise friend. Journal a few mornings. Listen to a podcast that always challenges you. If you can't think of anything, start with my book, All It Takes Is a Goal. You can get it anywhere books are sold. And I read the audiobook and it's got 10 bonus stories. You're going to love it. It's a fast, fun way to get a crash course in accomplishing all your goals. Now, if I were you and I was listening to this episode, I'd probably be thinking, 100 hours? Yeah, right. Come on, dude. That's a bit exaggerated. I would show you my silly little piece of paper with all the check marks on it right now. But here's how I do it. I find that there's a lot of pockets of time that were going unused in my life. So when I run, when I work out, I'm listening to an audiobook. I'm listening to a podcast. Before I work out, I know, okay, I want to get wiser on this topic. So I'm going to run while listening to this idea. Another example, this week, I'm going to Indianapolis. I have a speaking engagement in Indianapolis. And for some reason, those two cities, Nashville and Indianapolis, do not get along when it comes to flights. There's no direct flight. I have to go from Nashville to Detroit and then back to Indianapolis. I'll have 4 flights this week. Guess what I'll be doing some of the time on those flights? I'll be listening to audiobooks. I'll be reading audiobooks. I'll be writing. I'm going to pre-plan wise ways for me to use that time in advance because I know. If I don't, what's going to happen is I'll sit on that plane and go, huh, Okay, what should I do? Maybe watch a movie, maybe just kind of screw around, maybe scroll through Instagram. If I don't have a plan, I won't use that time wisely. So I'm recording this right now on a Monday. And one of the items on my to-do list is plan some activities for the Indianapolis-Detroit flights. I'm like, go ahead and plan them. That's how I'll get time. So for me, I'm trying to be really deliberate about that. So for instance, when I have a haircut or when I have a dentist appointment, I use the time on the way there. I listen to something. I make a phone call to a mentor. I use that time. When you start to look for time in your life, even if you can't find 100 hours, I guarantee you can find a few pockets where you could be a little bit wiser. Wisdom. I mean, who knew it could be so great, right? I mean, who knew? I think the answer is everybody knew, John. Everybody knew. The Bible, Socrates, Einstein. The list of people who knew that wisdom matters is probably pretty long. But I dare you to try to find 1 hour this week, just 1 hour, where you can pursue wisdom. Thanks for listening to today's episode. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing my podcast. The reviews you write are super encouraging. Here's one I saw recently from Duncan McKnight. Duncan McKnight? I think I said that right. Content machine. That's the title. It's got 3 exclamations. Let's go, Duncan. This guy keeps putting out killer content in every avenue possible. Books, courses, videos, and now podcasts. Thanks for saying that. I actually try to be a content machine. I like to create a lot of content. It's really fun for me. So thanks for noticing that, Duncan, and taking the time to write a review. I love the reviews you guys write. Make sure you subscribe or follow or whatever it is the kids are saying these days, and please write a review. I'll see you next week. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.
I've been really surprised at how many people who listen to this podcast have reached out to me about having me speak at their events. I love that. And here's why. Over the last 13 years, I've had the honor to help hundreds of companies like Nissan, Walmart, Microsoft, and Comedy Central at events around the world. And during that time, I've developed 3 big goals for your event. Number one, I want to slingshot your audience into the best year they've ever had. Whether I'm opening, closing, or somewhere in the middle of the event, I want to launch everyone out of that room with actionable, memorable things that they can apply to their work and lives immediately. Number two, my second goal, I want the sound team engaged and laughing. The sound team has heard it all. They have. And if I can make them laugh and learn along the way, the audience is going to absolutely love the keynote. And number three, my third goal, I want you to get text messages during the keynote. My favorite sentence to hear from you after I speak is, John, my phone was blowing up during your keynote. I'm there to make you look like a rock star, not me. If your boss texts you during my speech and compliments you on how well the event is going, then I know I've done my job. Whether it's virtual or live, 10,000 people in an arena, or 15 sales team members on WebEx or Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I'd love to help you with your next event. Fill out the quick form at acuff.me/speaking to check my availability. That's acuff.me/speaking.